Praise the Lord. Well, are you excited to be here today? I'm excited to be here today. Hallelujah. It's okay if you sit in the back row, just don't take a back seat to the enemy or anything else. Oh, come on, y'all. That's what the enemy wants. He wants us to take a back seat. He wants us to be afraid of him. He wants to show any kind of respect for him that we'll get into that later. I won't go there right now. But anyway, he's a liar. He's been defeated. I said he's been defeated. And we've been given authority and victory in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm excited to be here today. Not that I'm not excited every time. Those of you who are here most of the time, you know what I'm talking about. You know, it doesn't make any difference what comes or what happens. As you allow the Spirit of God to minister to you, to take the knowledge that you have and add to that knowledge, you can't help but grow. And that growth is not only in the blessings of God, but it's in the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, family of God, I want to tell you the enemy's time is short. I believe that more than I've ever believed it before. And as a result, he's attacking the kingdom of God. And he's not attacking the people out there. The people out there, they're already serving him. They're not even concerned for him. The people that he's coming against are the people of the body of Christ, the children of God, and to try to thwart the Word of God and to make it look like God is the one who's the liar. But we know who the liar is, the father of all lies. The truth has never been in him. He deserves no respect. He deserves no reverence. He deserves to be treated as an enemy. That's why we have the armor of God. I got to stop or I'm going to preach my sermon here. So this morning you need to understand that you are victorious. You are not a victim. He has no power. He has no authority in your life except for the lies that he tries to tell you. And the things that that's right. And yet the point is not rejoicing over that. That's a blessing. But we don't rejoice over that. We rejoice that our name's written in the book of life. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's what's important. Amen? Hallelujah. And just for free, I'll throw in that scripture that says that a man does not despise a thief. Who's the thief and the liar? That's right. Man doesn't despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. Well, Satan is not that person who's hungry. And it's not to satisfy his soul, it's to satisfy his pride. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. But God says that out of that, when that thief is caught, he must do what? Restore sevenfold out of the goods of his house. How many remember Ecclesiastes 2:26? To the one who pleases him, God grants... Well, let's just read it. It'd be better if we do that. Amen? Ecclesiastes 2:26. I'm just getting warmed up here. There we go. Listen to this. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Amen? But here's what he also says. He says, for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, who pleases him. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering, did you hear that? And collecting, that he may give it to him who is good before God. So, the thief's been found out. Now, God's requiring. I believe he's requiring. Not us. God is requiring that he repay what he's taken and stolen. And we have a right. We have the authority. We have been blessed. We need to do some other things before we get into this. But I'm excited this morning. I can't hardly contain myself. I think you can see that. And if I got any more excited, I'd be beside myself. And I don't think you could handle two of us. Praise the Lord. Anyway, God's good. And this morning, my desire, and I believe God's desire by what he shared with me, is that we walk out of here with victory, with new insight, that we walk out of here understanding who we are. Well, that's one of the biggest things the enemy uses to keep down and to oppress the kingdom of God and the people of God, and that is not knowing who you are and not understanding fully what God has done for you. Amen?
These kind of things happened all through our whole trip. I have to preference that with whenever Jerry and I go, things happen to us. They just do. And we laugh it off. It's funny. We go to a restaurant. We get the worst waiter in life. We get the worst table. You know, it's, you just laugh it off. It's just who we are. Anyway, so we laugh it off, but God blesses us and has everything come turn out all right. So we were on a train from Bayerisch Eisenstein, which is on the, it's in Germany, but on the Czech border there, and we took a train that is like a little tiny commuter train that I think we were the only Americans who's ever stepped foot on that train, and we're going down to Prague to spend a couple of days down there. So we get on this rickety train. No one speaks English. They're all speaking Czech, and of which I know nothing. I know a little bit of Deutsch, but not anything in Czech. So the ticket taker lady, whatever they're called, comes in, and she says something to us, and I'm like trying to speak to her in Dutch and saying, I don't understand, I don't understand. You speak English. And, of course, she didn't speak one word of English either. So she's struggling. You can see that she's struggling to try and find the words, and all she can do is bus, train, Prague. Train, bus, Prague. Bus, train, Prague. That's all she can say, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to tell me. So I get up. She leaves. I get up, and I go car to car to car to find somebody who speaks English. Well, none of them do. None of them. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? You know, I have no idea. And then no one spoke English. I could find no one. And all of a sudden, this man appeared out of nowhere, absolutely out of nowhere. And I turn around and he's there. And I said, hello, do you speak English? And he says, of course. And so I said, well, the ticket lady was trying to tell us something, and we can't figure out what she's trying to say. So I went and found her, brought her back, and they talk, and he said, she's trying to tell you that there's something wrong with the train tracks up ahead, that you need to get off the train at the next stop, get on a bus, and then onto another train to go to Prague. And I said, how do we know which bus? We don't know anything. I can't read anything here. I don't know anything. And he said, they'll tell you. They've got the bus waiting for you. You know, just kind of relax. The bus will be waiting for you. You'll go through two towns, get on another bus, and go to Prague. And so I'm like, oh, thank you, thank you. At least we know what's going on now. And so there was a couple more stops before we got to where the train tracks were damaged. He got off at the very next stop. I mean, I know that that was a miracle of God, sending him there to us. And those kind of things happened all the way through. So we get to the place where that we have to get off because of the train tracks being damaged. And this woman, this older woman who had a young child with her, was in one of the cars that I had been asking if they spoke English. And so when we stopped, we noticed everybody was getting off. But she came specifically to our car and motioned. And so we got up. She made sure we got on the bus. It was fabulous. She made sure that once we got to the next train stop, through the bus, that we got back on the train and everything. I mean, it was just so heartwarming and such a miracle. I could do nothing but praise God, you know, and our whole trip was filled with stuff like that. It was amazing.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Let's put things back in order here and let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We give you praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving, Lord, for the work and that work manifesting in our lives, Lord, as we surrender to you this morning. We love you. We've come to hear from you, to receive from you. Once again, Lord, we proclaim this is your time. We are your people. And as Harry prayed with the men, Lord, we have open hearts, receptive hearts, and open minds to receive your word this morning, Lord. Father, we just trust you to do what you see fit. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. You take control and bring our Father's will into fruition in this place and in each and every life and heart this morning. We thank you for who you are, for the blessings, the promises, and Lord, for drawing us into your kingdom, making us heirs and joint heirs with you. Now, Lord, we just love you and we thank you for this time. And it's our desire this morning as we praise and sing to you, Lord, and give you worship, Lord, that you would be pleased, that it would be a sweet smell and a sweet sound to you. For all these things, we pray and thank you, and we thank you in advance for the outcome, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we have to come into your house, to come before you and worship you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and for what he did so that we can be your children and be righteous before you by entering into your covenant through his blood. We thank you for each and every person that's here today, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless them and to Let us have open ears so that we can hear what you have for us today. We ask you to bless this offering and multiply it so that we can continue to be not only an influence in our community here, but worldwide. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all you did. But Father, we thank you because it was your plan that our Savior fulfilled. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, who reveals truth to us, who reveals you, your Word, and your life to us, Lord. Directs our path, gives us wisdom and insight, teaches us in all things pertaining to you, Lord. We thank you for this day once again. Now, Lord, touch me with a coal from off the altar of God. Let your thoughts, your plans, what you see and what you speak be declared here this morning alone. For that we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Harry and Jean. How many are blessed by their faithfulness and commitment? Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. They deserve it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. It's a statement by Jesus. It's Jesus speaking. You know, one of the things that I have become acutely aware of in recent years and as I grow in the Lord day by day. How many are still growing? Amen. Hope it never stops. If it does, we're in trouble. But one of the things that that I get amazed at is how weak the Church of God is. Now, I can see some frowns, and I can hear some of you saying, Bill, what are you talking about? I'm not weak. Well, I'm not necessarily talking about you all. But the church in general is weak. They're caught up at looking at things that have no relevance to your life and walk with God. They're promising things that are not, can't be fulfilled by the things that they tell you and the ways they tell you to do it. But the other thing is that many people, and the biggest thing that is, if you will, handicapping and inhibiting the Church of God, say, I belong to the Church of God. Amen. I'm His child. Amen. Is the fact that people don't know who they are. For those of you who have maybe heard that statement before, you're saying, okay, what are you saying, Bill? What are you talking about? What is that? Don't know who I am. What I'm saying is you don't know what your authority is, and you don't know what the power is that's been given to you in your life. Now, wait a minute, Bill. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning I'm going to kick over some sacred cows. There may be a few toes stepped on. I'm not because I dislike you or because I'm mean, but because I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to fulfill the Scripture this morning to the best of my ability with the help of the Holy Spirit and God, and that is to speak the truth in love to you. And you understand when I speak these things, I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself too. Because, let's face it, when God gives me messages, I can't speak for anybody else. Well, yeah, I can, but right now we'll talk about me. He's speaking to me from things that need to change in my life, from places that I want to go, that I want to be more like Him, in His image, in His likeness. And that means all of the old has to go. All of the old has to go. If we really understand the Word, then it should already be dead and buried, crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, we're crucified with Christ, yet we live. But it's not us who live. We're not living for ourselves. We're not living in ourselves. It's not us who live, but Christ lives in us. Amen? Hallelujah. And if that's the case, and if we really are grafted into the vine, we really are children of God, then we should be walking in the newness of life and the power of God. What does that mean? The power of God. One of the things that people, and this is not the first time in my life I've experienced this. There are some people who absolutely are so afraid that they'll say something out of line that the enemy is going to overwhelm them. I want to clarify something to you. A few months back, in fact, before the first of this year, I made a statement. And there were some people who shuddered at my statement. I'm going to explain to you why I say that and why I'm saying it again today. We are victors. I'm going to ask you, don't answer quickly. Examine your heart. Test and see if this is where you are. I am a child of God and an heir. I've been drafted into the vine. I am seated with Him at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus, when He, in Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24, and throughout the crucifixion, when He put the period on our salvation, which began in Isaiah 53:5, if He made an open show of the devil, He took the teeth out of that old wannabe lion. If He says nothing shall by any means hurt you, then that means nothing shall by any means hurt you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, one of the places where we're weak and sickly, as we talk about in the communion, in our lives, is because we don't rightfully discern the Lord's body. What does that mean? That means that we do not understand, or do we acknowledge what Jesus actually did on the cross and what happened while He was in the grave for 3 days, where He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He spoiled principalities and powers. He made an open show of them. He made an example of them, humiliated the devil in His place, took that authority away from Him, and put that authority in our lives. Then He told us, not only these things will you do, but greater things in My name. And then He told us, these things will you do? Well, I just said that. And greater things in My name. But He took that authority and gave it to us. But one of the things that I've seen, and I've had people tell me throughout my Christian life, be careful. Don't mock the devil. Be careful what you say. And I'm here to tell you on that. I'm a child of God. I'm seated with Him at the right hand of God because Jesus is my head. I'm the body. And my Bible and your Bible, if you'll read it, if you take the time to read it and study it, says the enemy, the enemy, the enemy, everybody say the enemy is our footstool. The enemy is our footstool. What's left? Lies and deception. Words and thoughts that he tries to plant in our brains. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of him. I have no fear of him whatsoever. He has no authority, no power in my life unless I give it to him. My Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to him. If you for 1 minute have 1 ounce of respect, and by respect I'm saying, think that he might be able to do something now that Jesus has taken care of all that, you better go back and find out exactly what salvation means and what you were saved from and what you were saved to. Now we don't rejoice that we have power over the devil, but we rejoice that our name is written in the book of life. Here's what Matthew 11:12 says. Jesus is speaking. He says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I'm here to tell you that everything the enemy does is violence against you. Not because he hates you, but once again, he hates the Word of God. If he can take the Word of God from you, it's like taking any kind of power or authority you have and making you a cripple in the kingdom of God. You might as well say amen. It's the truth. That's where he gets a foothold in our lives, is by planting thoughts and things that we start to entertain. I want to remind you what Jesus said in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse. He says, therefore, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Family of God, once and for all, I want you to understand, You are more than conquerors through Christ who loved you and who strengthens you. Once again, I want to remind you, there is no weapon formed against you that will prosper unless you give it place. Now, that doesn't mean that attacks don't come. But once again, I want to remind you that it's what you do with the attack. It's the confession that comes out of your mouth that's going to bring victory in your life or bring a stumbling block and stifle you from that moment until you get your thinking and your word straight. We know that everything was created by the Word of God. It wasn't created by things we see, but it was created by the voice of God. Amen? Go back and read Hebrews 4 chapter. We talked last week about faith, being justified by your faith. If you go on, for those of you who may want to make a footnote, I'll give this out to you. If you go on and read Romans 5 and 6, what you're going to find out is the first thing, the first place where you were justified is when the blood of Jesus cleansed you. And I'm here to remind you this morning that nothing gets through that blood. Nothing gets through that blood. Say it with me. Nothing gets through that blood. Amen. That means nothing. No thing. No enemy. Same as no weapon. No plan, no attack, no device. It doesn't mean we don't have... Bless Marie's heart. You know, she got hurt this week. I took a tumble last night. But I'm here. And I'm telling you, it was the angels that kept me. Man, my size and going through what I've gone through, when you fall, it's no light thing. But I'm here. I got a little scrape on my thumb. Whoop-dee-doo. I'm healed by the bruises and blood and stripes of Jesus. And I don't care what that devil tries to do, and I don't care what he says. I don't care what his plans or thoughts are. I am a victor. I'm no longer a victim like I was when I was serving him. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6. In fact, I think we'll start reading in verse 10. Are you there? Finally, my brothers and sisters, family of God, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's not your strength. It's not your power. It's His power that you walk in, His authority. Once again, let's remember that man who wears a badge, his authority doesn't come from him. His authority comes from the people who are backing him. Who is backing you as a Christian? If you're serving God, who is your authority? Who's backing you? Who's enforcing the Word of God? That's right. The Holy Spirit and the Father, the Godhead. Amen. Then he says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the devices and plans and thoughts and trickery of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Is everybody clear now where the fight is? There's two entities fighting for the dominance of your mind. And your mind is part of your soul. It's your mind, your will, your emotions, the seat of appetites. Your soul must be motivated and controlled by the Spirit of God, which is in turn motivated by the Word of God. Because the Word and the Spirit always agree. For me to speak anything or do anything or say anything contrary to the Word and the Spirit is wrong. I've missed it. Does that mean you're cast out in doubt or darkness forever? No. Again, if you go back and remember last week's message, if you don't have it, you weren't here, please see Patrick. And again, read Romans 5 and 6. I think you're going to get some enlightenment based on the message. In verse 13, we're told, this is a command, this is not a suggestion, take up the whole armor of God, not just a piece or two, that you may be able to what? Withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Why in the world would you want to put on armor? Protection, yes, but why else? That's an accurate statement, but it's a passive statement. Armor is for aggression. Armor is for marching. Armor is for war. Amen? Am I right or wrong? And then in verse 14, after it says, having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having your waist, having girded your waist, or putting on the belt of truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Even though we're in armor, our gospel and our what we're talking about is peace. Peace in God, through God, and with God, and with other people, because of the peace of God that reigns and dwells in us. And then in verse 16 it says, and above all, not just those few things, but above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that that's not a passive weapon, just deflecting. That's part of it. But the picture that I get from the scripture is the fact that it's an aggressive weapon which reaches out, captures those darts as they fly in, extinguishes them, and violently throws them to ground. That doesn't sound like weakness to me. So I'm not just deflecting what the enemy throws at me. I'm watching the power of God and the truth of God in my life reach out, grab those. Not here, you won't. Throw them to the ground. The shield of faith. Why is that possible? Your faith. Your faith. Let's move on. Verse 17. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. We just read in Matthew 11:12 that the kingdom of God suffers violent and the violent take it by force. See, the enemy's on the attack, bringing violence against the kingdom to tear the kingdom down. But the kingdom of God is putting out that same violence in retaliation and in retrospect for against the enemy, which means the enemy's power is thwarted and we remain victors. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Colossians 2:15. Verse 14 says, having wiped out, who wiped it out? The handwriting of requirements or ordinances, the old King James says, that was against us. In other words, the laws that would convict us, the violations of the ordinances of God that we broke as unregenerate sinners, which was contrary to us, and as He has taken it out of the way. Did you hear that? He has taken it out of the way. It's not in the way anymore. It's not there anymore. Why? Because He nailed it to the cross once and for all. And in so doing, having disarmed principalities, disarmed powers, He made a public spectacle of them doing what? Triumphing over them in it. Not a halfway work, a complete and full and lasting work. Amen? Colossians chapter 2 is a good chapter. 1 through 23 is the whole chapter, and it would behoove you to read it, meditate on it. Ladies and gentlemen, when I heard that Stan was attacked, and those of you who know, when the enemy attacked me this past January, he tried to kill me. Anybody here have any doubt about that? Those of you who were there saw and watched and heard. My son walked into the hospital, heard the cold blue come, and fell to his knees. He thought I was a goner. Once again, I'm here as a testament to the faithfulness, the loving kindness of God, and a God who said, I'm not done yet, Bill. Let me remind you, this has to be new and fresh in your life every single day. The observation was made, makes no difference what I did before that point. At that point, when I cored those three times, everything that I was and everything that I did ceased. I ceased to love. I ceased to breathe. I ceased to think. But you see, I was enveloped and wrapped up in one who loves me, ready to go, not willing, but ready to go. And God said, I am not done with you yet. Where was the enemy's power there? Oh, he caused a little anxiety for a few of us, myself included, for my family. My son, as he walked in, crumbled to his knees. I'm sure my daughter had the same feelings. Maybe some of you did too. But I'm still here. Why? God, because of God, but God. But God had another plan. Amen? Hallelujah. God had another plan. In the Scripture it says that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay, but now wait a minute, Bill, but you went in the hospital. You got blood clots in the lung. You almost died. But you said nothing shall by any means hurt you. Am I still here? Am I a victor or a victim? Why? Because of Christ in me, that's what? The hope of glory. Are you with me? Luke 10:19 says, look and see. Look, behold, see, I have given you authority over all the power, or the dunamis power, all the tactics, all the desires, and all the tricks of the enemy. And you will walk on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But let me read it. I think I quoted a couple of scriptures there, but let's read it. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's what it says. Okay? In other words, look and see. I've given you authority to trample on the power of the enemy. Dunamis. That's the Greek word dunamis, which means dynamic or explosive power of the enemy. But in that, that's not where my focus lies. That is where I know and what I am. A child of God who carries, just like that policeman with the badge that the government backs up, carry the authority of God. But the biggest thing that's important to me, the most important part of this, is that my name is written as your name is written in the book of life. Remember again, Psalm 91. I'll tell you what, that'd be a good thing to start out the day with every day. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eye will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. When's that possible? When you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you say of the Lord, He is your refuge. He is your fortress. In Him is you put your trust. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go back to Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark, the 16th chapter. I think I'm going to read from the 15th verse rather than the 17th verse. Again, Jesus is speaking. And He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel, the good news. How many of you feel it's good news when you hear of an attack against a brother or sister? Or you see the enemy, or you hear about the enemy trying to take advantage of a loved one? Is that good news? No. The good news is we, like Jesus, have been given the ability to triumph over that thing because of Christ. He says we are the head and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. Verse 16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Then he goes on and tells us in verse 17, and these signs will follow. In fact, why don't you all read it with me? And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up a serpent. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These things shall you do in my name, and even greater things than these. Verse 19. So then after the Lord spoke unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. Again, the Lord working with them and confirming. Did you hear that? You read that? Right there. And confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. In other words, they were doing signs and wonders. God was doing signs and wonders through them because of their faith and because they proclaimed what they believed in their hearts. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, family of God, we're not weak. There's a big difference between meekness and weakness. Meekness means there's no arrogance. Humility means you give all the glory to God, and everything that happens and everything that goes on in your life and everything you do, you give glory to God. That's humility. It's not me or you, but Christ in us who strengthens us. Amen. Now this morning, if you haven't understood what ruling and reigning in this life is, that's taking the authority and ruling and reigning over the wiles and the tricks and the tactics of the enemy, saying, this is the Word of God. I'm walking in the Word, and I'll not give in, and I'll not believe, or I'll not take part in your lies and your deception and your treachery, no matter what it is. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if you think that all of a sudden the enemy is going to get the ability or has gotten the ability to hair-lip Congress. He has not got that authority anymore. He did have it one time because it was given to him by Adam and Eve. But that's why Jesus came, to reverse that. That is not in effect anymore unless you don't receive Jesus. That's the only way that's still effective in this day and age. Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. It's His power and His authority we walk in now. Your Bible says you can do all things through Christ, who does what? Strengthens you. And when we boast, we don't boast in ourselves, we boast in God. Amen? We boast in God. This isn't the end, Marie, you know that. It's a minor setback. God has it under control. My job is to agree with God and God alone. We sang the song this morning, Amazing. His perfect love never ends in spite of us. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. It's time we started looking, not just talking about being victors and not victims. It's time we took up our cross and followed Him. Besides that, do you realize that everything was nailed to the cross? Everything was nailed to the cross? We just read it. Everything that is negative, hindering, binding, entrapping in your life was nailed to the cross. Those things that would hold you back from walking in the power and authority of God was nailed to the cross. And what did God say to us? What did He say? Don't be entangled again with the yoke of what? Bondage. Again to fear. Fear is false evidence against reality. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, family of God, either we are victors and we walk in what God says, or it's a lie. That's the only two options. We either believe it or we don't. Kathy, the things you do in your job and in your life are things you believe in, or you wouldn't do them, right? That's right about all of us. It's the same with all of us. If we didn't believe them, we wouldn't do them. Let's don't do it half-heartedly with God. Let's stand up and say, I got the message. I got the message. I know who I am. I'm not in fear. I'm in faith. I'm more than a conqueror through Him. Jesus conquered the work, folks, and basically handed it to us as long as we received Him. Now it's time to walk in it. Amen? Walk in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got mad. When I collected my thoughts and got over the why God, why God, why God, and said, this is what the Word says. I quit worrying about why I started beginning to see who I am and what God's plan and purpose was, and began to walk in it. Not just talk about it, but walk in it. Amen? Walk in it. Walking it out. I know of a man. I don't know the man personally, but I know the story because I'm acquainted with his wife. She happens to be my nurse. Man was in the pulpit, preaching good, preaching real good. And one day he just got up and walked out on her and walked out on the church, left the church hanging. And the reason he did, not because he didn't know the truth. He knew it up here, but he didn't have the truth down here. Faith without works is dead. It's not faith, it's unbelief. I don't mean to be mean, I'm just speaking the truth. And y'all know I love you. You're either free or you're not free. And if you're not free, don't lie. Don't say, well, yeah, I'm free. I believe it. But you're still walking in defeat. Don't say that. Go to God. Say, Father, I need your help. I need your help. In this area, in these areas in my life, or this area, whatever it is, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, I'm not walking in victory. But I know that I have the victory in you. Father, help my unbelief, and thank you that you work with me. You're the one who makes me and motivates me to have the will to do what you want me to do. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm not going to stay where I'm at. This is temporary. I'm not moved by facts. I'm moved by truth. And the only truth, what does your Bible say? We've talked about it a million times. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. So that means everything else may be factual or maybe circumstances, but those are all subject to change. You realize nothing withstands truth? Do I need to say that again? Nothing withstands or stands in the way of truth. Truth and light do what? Dispel darkness and deception. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You need prayer this morning? The elders are here to pray with you. I'm here to pray with you. Ladies and gentlemen, you can be as free as you want to be this morning. It's up to you. But I've made up my mind. I'm not walking in deception. I'm not walking in darkness. I'm not walking in fear. I'm not walking in circumstances. I'm not moved by what I see, only what I know and what I believe. Amen? Did you hear me? And I want y'all to come with me. Come with me. I guarantee you, you'll walk out of here and you'll walk through the rest of your life happy as if you had good sense. But the truth is, you really do have good sense because you made the right choice. Hallelujah. As we close, we're still going to be here. Soldier who goes to war, unless he's been trained and equipped, knows what his capabilities are, is ineffective. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a warfare. We're in a warfare, but we're on the winning side. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We're the soldiers in the army. Amen. We're a victorious army. We're an effective army. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All hearts clear? Praise the Lord. I'm glad I came this morning. I hope you are. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are. You don't just have, you don't possess only, but you are truth. And you said the truth would set you free. And I thank you, Lord, that that truth set me free when I received you as my Savior. But that truth is setting me free every day of my life as salvation is new to me every day. As salvation is new to your people, I thank you that you're setting them free right now and every day, Lord, as they keep their focus and attention on you, Lord. They don't receive the circumstances. They don't receive the attacks or the verbal words that are thrown out, those arrows that are spoken by people in the world. I believe your word, Lord. I'm just foolish enough to believe your word. Although many are the afflictions of the righteous, Lord, which is those people who are here today, and myself, Lord, you deliver us out of them all. And Lord, I'm of good cheer today. Because you've overcome the world. Though the afflictions come, Lord, I overcome those by the blood of the Lamb. Your blood, Lord Jesus, that was shed. And the word of my testimony, or what I speak out of my mouth in prophecy. May only your word come out of my mouth. May only your word come out of my mouth. And I pray that for these people, Lord, the family of God, your saints, Lord. Thank you for touching. Thank you for delivering. Thank you for enlightening. For building up, edifying, and comforting your people this morning, Lord. Now, Lord, bless our time of fellowship. We sanctify the food, the snacks, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to fellowship. Lord, let us be mindful that you're part of our fellowship too. In Jesus' name, go with your people. Let your grace and mercy abound for these people, Lord. I thank you that they walk in victory, Lord, as they walk out of this place today, and their lives have been changed by your word, and that your word, has been sealed in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. We love you, praise you, give you thanksgiving forever. In Jesus' name. And all who will, say amen. Be blessed.